Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
awkward.
We social podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. I am getting ready to hop on right now with Cristela Alonzo, who is gracious enough to give me a little bit of her time today to do a quick, episode, catching up on the whole quarantine life, how things are going. I've been checking in with several people, and I think that's one of the healthiest things we could do right now is just a mental health check, or at the very least, just kind of catch up with somebody. The one thing I recommend to people is using the House Party app. I've been using that with my family, and we've been hopping on, chatting with each other, playing trivia games on there. So if you want to do something along those lines and don't want to pay for the Zoom subscription, then that would be a good way to go. So again, that's House Party, all one word. The little icon should be like a little waving hand with the red background. They're not sponsoring me or anything, but if you are listening to this and you are connected with them, tell them I said hi. They don't have to sponsor me. Just put the word out there and find new ways to communicate with one another. I'm going to be releasing a few more episodes. I'm actually going to drop 3 this week, specifically because I feel like there needs to be more content out there. Oh, look, Cristela's on. Give me one moment, please, and thank you. Let's take a look right here. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going good. How you doing?
Doing very well, thank you. I'm just waking up. This is that Mio stuff that's like a caffeine sort of a Kool-Aid spray thing. Trying to wake myself up. let's take a look right here. Oh, that's a dope background right there. I really like
it. Oh, thanks.
I'm trying to figure it out. I was trying to see if I could figure out the artist, but I cannot. Because there's this guy.
No, it's a local Seattle artist. He sells his paintings at the Pikes Peak Market.
Pikes awesome. Place.
He was selling them like right off the street, and I loved these so much that I was like, "Can I buy them and you ship them to me?" And he was like, "Yeah." Are they great?
I'm really a big fan of the one with the mostly black background. That's done so well. I'm really fixated on that. I saw a YouTube video recently of a guy who did an artwork like that, and he was just using these long sort of like brushes or the stuff you do use to flatten down concrete, and he just kind of went over it and then just poured paint over it and did stuff like that. So
whenever it's insane how talented these people are, like, because the sign of a true talent is when they make it look so easy.
Yeah, I can draw, but my doodles are so simple. I can't do anything. Like, you can tell what it is when you see it, but no, you would be like, oh, that's a really good, 12-year-old artist right there. Like, you don't think to yourself it's professional in any sense.
I used to draw really, like, I was actually really good at drawing. In high school, Beavis and Butthead was really hot.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to get bored in class. I was a kind of school nerd that, I found it not challenging enough.
Mm-hmm.
I would finish all my work right away and I had time to kill. So I would draw on myself with markers and stuff.
I did that too. And I'm surprised that we don't have tattoos. Do you have tattoos?
I don't have tattoos.
I don't have tattoos either.
It's weird. Well, it's weird because like I would do these extensive scenes where like I did the Beavis and Butthead living room, like mm-hmm. where they watched me on my legs.
Yeah.
So that when you put them together, you would see it. But I like that it was temporary.
Yeah.
When people get tattoos, I always ask them, like, how did you know your first tattoo was going to be your first tattoo? You know, somebody said, because I always thought I would get one, but I can't decide what it would be. And several friends of mine that have tattoos said, well, that means that you're not supposed to get them.
Yeah. I've been drawing a tattoo from the age of 16 to about 25, 26. I would draw a tattoo for myself every single year. I'm like, this is the year I'm going to get this. This is the year I'm going to do this. And then I would like second guess my artwork. And if I got every tattoo I designed, I would have like 8 dragons on me right now. And I am thankful that I don't, because I don't know what it was. I think it's just because like, I had the fixation. I started watching Dragon Ball Z like at 14. And from then on, it was just dragons, everything.
Totally. I mean, yeah, look, it reminds, like, sometimes I think about like Pokemon, when Pokemon started and there was only like 120 or something. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like somebody asked me, you know, I was so into it when it came out that my favorite was Jigglypuff. Uh-huh. I just thought Jigglypuff was adorable. And now when I see like how much it's grown, I always thought, well, Jigglypuff's kind of cute. Like I would totally maybe do like a Jigglypuff, but now it's like, the world has expanded. Would I still like it? I don't know.
The only Pokemon I ever wanted to get was kind of in the same vein was Charmander. Because I thought Charmander was really cute. Yeah. He's a little dragon with the fire. Very sort of dragon friendly kind of thing. And there was a girl in high school that we had a really weird sort of like brother-sister friendship, which is odd because the funny thing about it is now is that I didn't know that half the time that she and I would hang out, she was pregnant. She was having a secret pregnancy or whatever. Like, she hid it from me, and I didn't notice. And when I found out, like, later on, she was like, didn't you notice I was getting fat? I'm like, I never really paid attention to you or whatever. And so I drew on her a Pokemon, the little egg one.
Yeah,
the little egg one, Togepi or whatever it was called. And I didn't know that at the time that she wanted me to draw that because it was supposed to symbolize her baby getting ready to be born. And I had no idea that I was doing it for that. Like, there was this symbolism there that I had no clue. I was just like, okay, I'll draw this egg on you, I guess. And years later, it's like I brought it up to her recently. And she's like, I don't remember that moment. I was like, really? That was significant to me. How was it not significant to you when you were pregnant? Like, that is the one thing you should remember a little bit, methinks. So funny.
Actually, I think we have that in common because I've actually, my friend, I had a friend in high school, Lorena, that had a tattoo, like a tattoo machine, like a needle. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, a couple times we skipped school. And one day I gave her a tattoo, like I drew on her, and she was like adamant. She was like, you have to do it. And I didn't want to do it or whatever. But there are times where, just like you described it in your story, when I'm close to people, I kind of overlook a lot of things with them. Because mm-hmm. I'm so into the actual like friendship, that relationship, that people have told me, like, how did you not notice this? I don't know, because we were just hanging out or something.
You know, there's things you just don't need to be actively aware of. You don't have to be conscious of it. Like, you never think about stuff. I tell this story. It's never quite made it onto the stage, but I accidentally set up a drug deal once. And when people when people ask me, like, how did you not know? I'm like, I didn't know that I was setting up a drug deal. I just thought this... Because this guy just, my younger sister invited me to go hang out with her and her friend, and her older brother was there, her friend's older brother. And he was talking to me about this weird guy, and he was like, yeah, I think he thought it was a lot cooler or more in the know than I actually am. I'm sorry, give me one second. Something weird's going on here. I didn't know he was talking about measurements or whatever. And he was talking about how he had like, that's how he got a Sega Genesis from this guy and this and that, and talking about all this stuff. And he was very proud of himself for like doing this. And I was like, oh, that's weird. That's cool that he's like that. I'm like, well, I got a couple of like nickels and dimes and quarters or whatever here. And then I'm like, I wonder what he'd give me or what he has. Cause I was just thinking to myself, what a great deal. This is a great price for stuff. That's legitimately where my brain went.
Jose, but that would have been the same way. Because obviously you weren't smoking weed.
No, I wasn't. I didn't smoke pot for the first time until this year. And
you know, I've never been into weed. I was I'm 41. So mm-hmm. I grew up in that generation where like you just say no to drugs.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a Catholic family. So it was ingrained in me to just always try to follow the rules and stuff. So the idea of doing that, I tried it a couple times when I was younger, but it made me feel bad. Like, it made me feel guilty. Yeah. But like, I didn't know the lingo either. Yeah. But it makes sense because you hear it. When you said quarter, I really would, like, I thought,
It was like a coin or something.
You're like, dude, that's like even better than Ross.
Yeah, he does this thing where he goes, hold on a second. He disappears to the other room. He's on the phone. He comes back with a scale. And he goes, all right, let me see what you got. And the scale is to weigh it so you can determine the weight of it. And I pulled out a bunch of coins from my pocket and I dumped them on there. I'm like, nickels and dimes, there's a quarter right there kind of thing. And he goes, are you playing, right? I'm like, no, this is it. And he pauses and he walks away and I hear him yelling at the phone. I hear him saying, he's a fucking idiot. He's a fucking idiot. No, no. He goes, all right. So he comes out and he's mad and he's looking at me, he goes, get out. And I was like, what? He goes, get out. And he was so mad. He kicked me out. And I was like, hey, I told my sister, I'm like, hey, so he's kicking me out. She's like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. And I didn't know. And it took me about a couple of years for me to process it. I was like driving somewhere. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, that's why he was so mad at me. But this guy, I told my sister about it. She's like, you didn't know you set up a drug deal? I was like, no. She goes, yeah, that dude was a hardcore dealer at the time. I was like, oh, I had no clue that I was, like, getting myself into the game. I would have loved it if I, like, became, like, a drug mule and was completely unaware.
Oh, yeah. Totally. An accidental drug mule. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, man, it's like on Postmates and stuff.
Like, what another wacky adventure I'm having today. Oh, my God.
You're like a Latina Lucille Ball. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. I want to be like a Mr. Bean or a... What's that old guy with the poor vision, the cartoon, Mr. Magoo?
Oh, Mr. Magoo.
Like, I just want to be in an adventure where, like, things are happening around me and I just never know. I mean, that was essentially what life was for me for a long time because I was so not aware of my own surroundings.
You right.
Know, it's, I don't know. I mean, you grew up in Texas, right?
I grew up in South Texas. I grew up right next to
Mexico. It's like California. At some point, it was just, like, predominantly desert.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, it was tiny towns altogether.
Yeah.
Even the city was a tiny, like a small town, you know what I mean? Yeah.
So we would, out here, have you been up to the Mojave Desert yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have.
Okay. So half of my childhood was out there and that's where the adventures would happen. Like where you go and you go for a hike in the desert and then you find a giant rock with a massive swastika on the side of it. I'm like, this feels... like, I shouldn't be here right now. Like, just like, I'm going to go ahead and turn back now before a bunch of, like, skinheads show up. And it's really funny to me that, like, I just walked into a middle of what I didn't know was an area where the Ku Klux Klan members were known to rally. And I just went there.
I didn't think the swastika was, like, a crooked cross that someone tried to do.
At some point, I thought, well... I used to draw the swastika because, you know, it was before that it was like a Muslim or spiritual thing or whatever that symbol was before it was repurposed. I didn't know any of the history at that point anyway in terms of like Hitler or anything. But I saw the drawing once and I was like, oh, I like the way that looks. So I would draw the swastika again, completely unaware of the association with the affiliation with the KKK or just or racist white people in general. I was like,
no. Whoops, right?
Yeah, big whoops. I would, you know, I'm like, oh, I just like this flag because I'm a big fan of the General Lee. That's all that means.
Mm. I actually have a Dukes of Hazzard watch.
Do you?
That I loved. It's like an old school, you know, from the 80s.
Do you still have it?
I still have it. Uh-huh. And it plays like the, you know, like, uh-huh. the, like, I used to love the show when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know? And now it's weird because you put so much emotion and memory into something. And then when you realize what it represents now or something, it's kind of like the Cosby Show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love the Cosby Show growing up and everything. And it's like, well, how do I feel about it now? So like, I have this watch that I loved growing up. And now I'm like, is it okay to like
it? it's really complicated because a lot of like if you watch any movie from like before the 2000s that has references for people like when you watch Home Alone 2 and he walks by, he asks Trump a question or whatever. Back then you're just like, oh, he's just, that's a cameo, it's amusing. And now when I see it, I'm like, Oh man, that really puts a little like a half a sting in that one scene in that one moment. But it's fine. Oh. But those exact same kind of thing. Like I used to be a big fan of the movie Ghost Dad with Bill Cosby.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And I'm just like, damn, I cannot watch this anymore. I have to get less of a ghost dad. Like now I just want that. That's when you want them to remake the films. We're like, oh no, the last version had like a pervert in it. This one's gonna, we're gonna vet their backgrounds, make sure everybody's totally safe and sound.
Those are the movies they should reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the movies.
Just see, the movies like, with perverts. You
know, yeah, I would like, you know, it's kind of like when in the old days when they would replace soap opera actors because someone was sick or something. It's like, today's role of da-da-da will be played by da-da-da. It's like, you kind of want those reboots because I want to like things.
Yeah. Well, you again, know, yeah. They have deep fakes now where they digitally put another actor's face on it. They should take, what's that movie? American Beauty?
Yeah.
They should take American Beauty and replace what's his face, that child pervert dude, with like Keanu Reeves, because I feel like Keanu Reeves is a safe bet. Keanu Reeves seems like a safe guy,
dude. Totally. And actually, like, I almost feel like Keanu Reeves, at where he's at in life and his age and his track record, even he could like mess up really bad and we'd probably give him a freebie.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we would be like, everyone has a rough night. Everyone has.
I mean, it's a Keanu bad day. It's not the same.
Yeah. When Keanu has a bad day, it takes a lot to get him there. You know, like everything has to go wrong. Not just waking up on the wrong side of the bed, but you know, his milk is expired and he's upset about that. You know, I feel like we would defend him so much just for that. And then he'd come out with a statement and they would be like, you know what? You owned up to it. Small applause.
He would be the guy that would have like on Twitter that would be trending like the Keanu is so not over party.
Yeah.
Like,
you know? Oh my God. I would aspire to be that, but I feel like I'm not even that now. Like I don't really have violent outbursts or anything like that. I'm a very chill guy, but I would love to get to his point. Cause right now, if I have a bad day, people look at me like, not like, wow, look at him. He's going to get through it. They're more like little guy. They're very sort of like this little brat. It's okay. Little guy. I'm too sweet. I'm not stoic like he is where you respect them. When it happens to me, they're just like, he'll be fine. I get that so much.
You want some cake?
Yeah, exactly. No one takes me serious when I'm pouty. I'm like that. I mean, come on, guys. Hey, no fair. Stop.
I'll take you serious.
No, I appreciate that. Does that drink behind you have your name on it? Say, oh, Grand yes. Marshal Cristela Alonso. That's dope.
Yeah. Look at how big it is.
That looks huge. Oh my God. So listeners, you can't see this, but there is a 2017, what does it say, Grand Marshal Cristela Alonso?
Yes, Car 3. It's for Sonoma Raceway.
Oh, that's dope. Have you opened it yet, or is that going to be never touched?
I haven't opened it yet. I actually, I felt like I wouldn't touch it. I don't really drink wine. I don't really drink a lot. I don't drink very often. And when I do, I drink beer.
Mm.
I'm just because I know what beer, how my body reacts to beer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I, you know, it's that thing where it's like, no. So I kind of just have it there. And yeah, it's just there. I don't know. Maybe if things go really bad one day.
Yeah. And just pour it out. Like you could tell Cristela had a really bad day today. She opened up the wine bottle. She got all the way down to the top part of the Cars logo. Like it is crazy.
Tough day.
Yeah, real tough day.
I had to go grocery shopping today. It was rough. It was rough.
It's I don't know what I would do. No, I have a very small collection of alcohol. And by collection I mean it's practically a collection with how long it stays there. Once upon a time told people I like drinking whiskey, and now for my birthday people will just gift me bottles of whiskey, which is great. Because then I don't have to go and buy it. But at the same time, it sits there and takes up space in the pantry for months at a time.
Right. And
so I'm like, I think that what the next logical step is, somebody needs to send me a bottle of whiskey that has my name on it. You know, I don't need to be a grand marshal of anything. I just wanted to say my name on it. So I don't, if you put it, do it with the label maker, that's fine too.
I would love to see a bottle of whiskey with your name on it like that with the label maker.
Yeah, it would, I mean, it would just be so basic. And people would be like, wow, he's really territorial about his whiskey. Oh my God.
That's hilarious. Oh my God.
That's so funny. I don't know how your weeks are going right now, but I don't wake up till about this time. I mean, like I'm up before this, but my brain doesn't start firing until about 1 o'clock.
You know, right now anything goes. I always, you know, it's, look, for me, I will tell you that right now, I had to cancel a trip to Dallas on March 14th. So mm-hmm. It's been what? 7 weeks,
yeah, maybe, approximately.
Been on 8 weeks or something, and I gotta tell you, I wasn't sure how I was gonna handle it, but I'm actually doing really good. And I think I was telling a friend of mine that I think it's because I struggle with really bad anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. So usually, when I'm homebound, I'm an introvert anyway. I love being home. I don't like being out, especially with stand up and stuff. When I don't have to be on the road, I love being home.
Yeah.
You know, but usually when I'm home, it's because I'm taking a break from the road, or I got very depressed, or my anxiety is really bad.
Yeah.
So I think that right now, because I'm actually doing well, mm-hmm. I'm taking advantage of it and using it as a productive time for me. So like, I'll tell you, right now I wake up at 5:30 in the morning.
Jesus.
Like I wake up at 5:30. I make coffee. I'm diabetic. Mm-hmm. So, I get very nervous with this coronavirus because people with diabetes are susceptible to having it. They're more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So, like today I went grocery shopping, but I went during the senior hour, which is 6:07. You know what I mean? So smart.
Did you wear like a gray wig or anything? Like, did you play it up a little bit?
The senior hour is it's senior hour or people with, you know, with predisposed health conditions.
Gotcha.
So I go with, you know, so, and I do it because I just don't trust people. It just gets so busy later on in the day that I go really early.
Yeah.
And I came back, I had some breakfast, and then I worked out, and it's it's 1:30. Like, yeah. I will go to bed at 9:30, 10 o'clock. I'm already asleep.
Yeah.
But I realize that that's what makes me happy right now. So, you know, that whole thing is, I've learned that I was judging my schedule and my life by what others mm-hmm. think and how they live, you know? So sometimes I would get tired at about 8 o'clock. And in my mind, I would think, well, that's so early to go to bed. Stay up at least till 10:30 or 11. Mm. And then I realized, like, why am I doing that to myself? If I'm tired right now, like, go to bed. So right now, I tell everybody, what your normal is right now, it's awesome. Because your body is telling you that that's what your normal is. So we can't judge it. We got to go with it, you know? Mm. And that's, you know, people are very critical. They can be very critical when people either wake up too early or they wake up too late.
Yeah.
So the truth is, when is the right time? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
when your body wakes up and tells you it's the right time. That's because right now we have no schedules. You're right. You're absolutely right. We can get up and go to sleep. I went last night. It was like 1 a.m. and I didn't realize it was 1 a.m. I thought it was like 8 p.m. And then I was like, why am I so tired? I was trying to think. I was like, why am I so tired? And then I looked at the time. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I'm like, it is. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm like, I have no. I mean, I wasn't giving myself a hard time, but I was like, I could just go to sleep right now. That's 100% fine. And it'll be okay. But throughout the day, I will randomly be watching TV. I am like a dad without kids because I'm on the couch, like passed out, like at random times throughout the day. I was watching Spider-Man 2 yesterday. I fell asleep and woke up, you know, to Doc Ock fighting Spider-Man towards the end or whatever. Like, oh, Jesus. I was like, I spent $4 renting this movie, and I probably lost $2 worth of that investment with my naps.
I get it, man. You know, I'm like a mom with no kids either, like too, because I'll watch Teen Titans. Mm-hmm. Or I'll watch Adult Swim a lot during the day, and they do like the Teen Titans or everything. And sometimes I just get into that accidental comfortable position. Mm-hmm. And then I wake up and I realize like I time travel. Like, yeah. It's later. You know what
I mean? It's like that autopilot that you get into when you're driving, where you drove a few miles and had no idea. Like, you just went on autopilot.
Absolutely. You're like, wait, how did I get here? Yeah. Exactly.
Although that does remind me, I did fall asleep once on the left lane and woke up on the far right lane.
No.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was never again will I do something like that. The scariest fucking thing to wake up to A, be driving, and B, be in a completely different lane. Like, I was like, all right, make sure that's why, like, I don't know if you do like if you do an all day Disney day, but we would get there like at 7, 8 a.m. or whatever, and then leave like at 10, 11 p.m. and the sun alone drains your body. Now all that walking around and doing all that stuff, it's exhausting. So when I have to hit up a Starbucks or something right before driving home, because it's the only way I'll survive the commute home, which isn't that long. It's, you know, like 45 to an hour. But in that time, I'm already in my pajamas in my head. My body, my legs are already shut down. Like, it's just like,
and it's true, because I'm a Disney person. I have the year pass. Mm-hmm. Like, I have the SoCal pass. So I go to Disney, you know, I'll go to Disney early. I'll do all day. You know, and it's true. Even with I like the yearly pass, because I usually go when kids are in school during the week, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, so I'll go, like, I usually take Steve. Yeah. I usually take Steve. Like, we'll go to Disneyland, and we'll go in the morning, and by noon, I'm already feeling it.
Yeah.
You know, like, just like that first kind of like bump, you know. So then I will have Starbucks at California Adventure, mm-hmm. like later on. And then I got to get Starbucks at Downtown Disney.
Yes.
Before I get back to the car. You know? So,
as I'm walking, the same thing, I pull out the app, the Starbucks app. I order my iced caramel macchiato with like 3 extra shots. To be ready by the time I walk over there, like a zombie, I walk in there and just grab it and wander back.
I have my app. Mm-hmm. I order a venti iced coffee with 2 shots of hazelnut, 2 shots of espresso, mm-hmm. and I'm gone. You know what I mean? But because that Starbucks is so busy all the time too. It's like people don't understand you can pre-order. I go in there feeling like I'm VIP. You know what I mean?
Have you started taking your own straws yet? Like, to get, because they only give the paper straws now.
Like, I have not done that. And every time that it happens, I always tell myself I have them. Like, yeah. I have straws for that, but I always forget.
Yes. Yeah. I got the so I go to the ArcLight. And I have the membership, and then they do the gift of the month thing every month. And one of the gift of the months was reusable straws, those metal ones. And I was so excited about it. And every time I would get a paper straw at Disneyland, I would always go, damn it, I forgot it again. It's the same response every single time. And one time I even laid it out on the counter and I still left it. Like, I have this, like, I'm drinking out of this, the reusable, like, it took me years to get to, like, pay to have, like, the reusable kind.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so now it's, which, by the way, if you ever get the reusable kind, have them, don't wash it yourself. Don't have them wash it, because I heard that their water is really gross, or the machine they use to clean it rarely gets cleaned itself. So, I mean, Starbucks isn't a sponsor or anything, but, you know. If the Starbucks overlords heard that, your great iced caramel macchiato, but I'm just saying, clean your machines a little more, please and thank you. Mm.
You know, it's funny because I love going to Disney. Mm-hmm. Love it, you know, and some days I will focus on different rides, you know, whatever, but there's always some rides that I have to go on every visit. And, you know, the straw thing is really funny because I always carry a fanny pack with me.
Yeah.
So I will load the fanny pack the night before, you know, to make sure that I have time to go over everything, you know, so that I don't forget it. and I have a travel straw that comes in a little case that bends, that extends.
Oh, I like those, like the collapsible kind. Kind of like the old lightsabers where it's just like three little pieces.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. So I have that one and it's so small that it can fit in my fanny pack. And I always forget it. And that's a thing I hate. I hate that like weird time where you have to become used to something, like accustomed to it, you know, because I feel awful when I realize I forget it. Because, you know, I'm like, well, that's why I got it. You know, it's like, that's why I got it.
See, I'm exactly like that with, so they have these, little collapsible chairs that you can use that are like this tall, not very tall at all. But essentially, it's just like a little fabric that you can use that you can sit on, like if you're going to sit rather than sitting on the floor kind of thing. And I always, right. I always want to get it. Like I've seen it on Amazon a million times and I never order it. But it's like it's perfect for if you're waiting for the fireworks show or you're sitting somewhere because there's very limited seating there. So you have a place to sit, and I every single time my legs start getting sore waiting for the fireworks show to start, I'm always like, oh, why didn't I order that thing? I've had all week. I've known I was gonna come for a week now, and I just I'm always so mad at myself. Which, by the way, have you gotten a lightsaber from Disneyland yet?
Oh, I last time I went to Disney, I did it.
Yeah,
I actually. So I didn't know how ahead I had to make the appointment. So I went to Disneyland for my birthday this year, January 6th, and I got there and I thought making an appointment right when I got there was going to be
enough.
Good enough time to go to the cantina and build a lightsaber. Of course not. You know, I realized, and it's completely packed for the day. And this was in the morning when I was checking in.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it. Oh. So the next week, I want to say that the next week, I told Steve, like, hey, I'm going to make a reservation for the cantina and the lightsaber, the workshop right now. And if I can get them for tomorrow, I'm going to go to Disneyland tomorrow. And I got it. And I'm like, we're going, like, you want to go? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah. So it was this thing where we went to the cantina. I ordered the flight of beers because it came in the little tray with like a little souvenir glasses that look like shot glasses.
Yeah, I've seen those. It looked really good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like those were cool. And I ended up getting the souvenir to bring home because why wouldn't I? And then the workshop, I set it to where I reserved the workshop in the last slot of the day. That way I didn't have to carry the lightsaber around because I was so paranoid with the idea of having to like carry it with me because I don't want anybody touching it. I don't want kids bumping into it, nothing. Let me tell you, I could bring a guest. So Steve went with me, right? I went in there. And I overthought everything because it's my lightsaber.
Yeah, it's yours. I got one. I have one. So it's the exact same thing. All I knew for sure, I was going to get the red kyber crystal. That's the only thing I knew for certain beforehand. But everything else was just sort of like, oh, I have no idea. Like, is this the wrong hilt?
I was totally like that. I mean, it was insane. I ended up getting the pink crystal. And even then, I knew it was going to be a big deal for me. I knew it was going to be a big deal for me. And then they had that moment where you grab it.
Yeah.
And Steve recorded me. He has video of it. I should have him send it to you so you could see it. My face is so excited. Like, I didn't even know I was going to get that happy.
Yeah.
But when I was holding it, it was just like, this is my baby. Like,
the amount of emotional investment that you have when you get it. So I'm going to send you, hold on. I'm going to send you on Instagram. I did a quick post of it. Or I did a couple posts. So one of the ones the one I'm sending you right now is me making it. But then the one that I'm going to send you next is a video of an actual interaction that happened with me. So right afterwards, we went to, I did mine on my birthday as well. And then I don't have. Did you ever meet Linda?
I think I met Linda.
Yeah.
I think I met her at the coffee shop.
Yes, you did. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, so she took me for my birthday, and she recorded it, and then she sent me the. So then we went to the what's the Millennium Falcon ride? The something Smuggler's Run. Smuggler's Run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just call it the Millennium Falcon. Yeah.
Same. So we go, and then when we're coming out, I pose with my red lightsaber, which obviously is the villain color scheme. And then in that moment, Chewbacca walks up. And so he looks so mad. I sent you the video of that as well, of that interaction as well. And he's looking at me, and he's judging me, and he's eyeing the saber, like, what is this kind of thing? And for those of you listening, if you ever go to Disneyland, you can get lightsabers. They look amazing. They look so great, and it's a whole big event. You get taken into a room where they recreate this experience of you see him watching me, judging me.
I've seen the video.
Yeah, he is so.
Jose, you got your lightsaber done exactly a month after I did.
Yeah.
On the same day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
It's amazing.
He walked up, and he was just upset with me. And then I was like, I got it for the color scheme. When I said that, he was like, oh, okay. And then he gave me a hug. And having Chewie approve of my lightsaber,
totally.
It made me feel like I felt like a kid. In that moment, it like all my childhood, and I had no idea. This is another thing about how unaware I am of things. I had no idea I was a Star Wars fan. Like, I mean, I watched the movies. I have the shirts. I have the collectibles. But it never occurred to me that I'm an actual like fanatic, because I don't hold it so precious where I get obsessed about certain things. You know, I'm very like, but at the same time, I have all this stuff. Oh, I wanted to show you this. One day, we only went to Disneyland for an hour one day, long enough to get to have just to do this at the end of the day, so I wouldn't have to carry it the whole day. But I got the Millennium Falcon popcorn holder thing.
That's the one I wanted. I wanted it so bad. And the moment I actually tried to get it the day, like right after the saber.
Yeah.
And right when they finished the saber. There were two carts that were two popcorn stands that had it. And one was right by the Star Tours. But when I got there, they had already closed up.
Yeah.
Like they just closed up. And then the other one was right by like the Cinderella Castle and they closed up. I hate that I haven't gotten, I'm so jealous of you. Oh my God.
I have a friend who has the AT-AT one. And so him and his fiance have the AT-AT. They have two of the AT-ATs, and I want one.
Oh.
So this part's going to anger you just a little bit, and I apologize that it's going to anger you a little bit, but he agreed to give me one of the AT-ATs in exchange for one of my Millennium Falcons. I have two.
That's solid though. That's pretty good.
It's amazing, and so I can't wait because I have this thing and I wanna like I do it because I see you're on the laptop, so I guess I can't really show you, but I have my office is very little Star Wars stuff, but the stuff that I do have, like I wanna like dedicate a side to Batman, a side to a part to Star Wars, a part to Ninja Turtles, and all of that stuff. I'm very much
let me show you this.
Okay,
hold on. Look at my Death Star disco ball.
Oh my God, that is amazing. Where did you get that?
I got this years ago on ThinkGeek before it closed.
Oh my
Look God. At this. How cool is that?
That is amazing. It's a Millennium Falcon. I'm sorry, it's a Death Star. It's a disco ball, but it has the eye for it. And it's, I mean, I thought I was showing off. I respect you, but I hate you. Because it's there and not here.
I'm the same way. Like during this time when we've been stuck at home, I've been taking inventory of what I have, because I really do have a lot of like little toys and stuff everywhere. So I'm trying to think if I want like my Super Mario stuff spread around, or do I want a designated area for it? The Star Wars stuff, you know, and this disco ball, I've been trying to find like the perfect place. I move it around every year just to see where I want it. And but I think it's going to stay around here.
What I was just thinking is you should get like one of those tracks that has a little motor in it. So the disco ball just kind of like moves around your room. Like just goes around the stuff. Like if there's like, I don't know where it can go. It can go everywhere and just have it keep like rotating. Yeah, that would be amazing. Like I always think to myself, like there's all these different things I would want to do. I can't because I have neighbors, you know, on either side. But if I can knock down a part of the wall and have like a, like one of those beds that comes down, but instead of a bed, a Murphy bed, but instead of the Murphy bed, it's just like nerd swag. Like I would do that. I have so much stuff, and there's shelves I need to buy, posters and stuff. I have this, I was just talking about this yesterday on another recording I did. I have this Batman, the animated series vinyl. It's the opening song is on one side and the end credits are on the other side. And the vinyl itself, the record, is shaped like the bat symbol. And
I love that.
It is the coolest thing. And I have like all these different Batmobiles, like collectibles and stuff. Like some are kind of small, like, I'll show you. So I have like smaller ones that are kind of like these.
Right, right.
And then I have a bigger one. It's a pop vinyl one that has like a pop vinyl. Pop vinyl Batman. I like that I'm doing visual show and tell here to listeners who are like, what is going on right now? I'm showing her my cool stuff. Okay, you guys,
it turns out that we both have cool stuff.
Yeah. No. And then have you watched Batman or read the comic books, Batman versus Ninja Turtles?
Oh, dude. Batman is my favorite superhero. Like I'm waiting for you to finish to tell you what I got.
All right. Let me show you this real quick. So this is from the Batman versus Ninja Turtle comic book and then the animated movie that they did based off of it. And it's Mikey wearing Batman's cape and cowl. And it's so amazing. It's
so awesome.
Yeah, it's, I gotta say, I'm sure you have, I feel like you're gonna like bring out a giant show and tell case of like rare items that you found in random places. You know, like
no. Actually, my biggest Batman. I can't get to them because they're kind of far from here. But I have. I'm building the. My next Lego build is the Batmobile from the 1989 movie.
Oh man!
So I'm actually building that, which I love because it comes with a display case, so that when you put it on, it's like I want to say it's rotating, so you can see it from all angles. I am obsessed with the 1989 Tim Burton movie. Like, I love it. I also have another Lego set that's the Batman original TV series, like the whole set. So it's got like the Batcave and it's got like the mansion. Like
the Batman 66?
Kind of thing?
Oh, that's so amazing. See that I always, growing up, I had this weird sort of, when I was 15 or 16, I got it in my head. I was like, I'm too old for this stuff. I'm too cool for this. Mm-hmm. I gave away my comic books to my neighbors. Now, that's not even the worst part. So I had these two kids that they would kind of tag along. I didn't have a whole bunch of kids to hang out with. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to shape your guys' minds. Here, I want you to have these comic books. I want you to read them. It's a bunch of I had a thick collection, a stack of Wolverine standalone comic books, like where you find out that he has the bone claws and stuff like that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Original prints, everything. I give it to them. And then one day they're walking by me and they're holding their folder. And in the folder is cutouts of Wolverine and different characters.
Oh.
And they cut up their comic books, put it on their folder, took the pages, stuck them on the wall, and just threw away whatever they didn't keep. I hated them and me so much for doing that. I was like, why did I think I was too big for this? So now when I get stuff like that, I'm just like, you know what? It doesn't have the same sentimental value, but at the same time, it has value to me. So I have to... I'm more respectful for it. So now I got boxes of comic books because I'm like, never again will I trust the wrong person. The only time I'll ever do anything like that is like if it has to be somebody who like I know for sure has a heart for it, has a passion for it.
Absolutely. You know, I think a lot of us have that kind of story with like comic books or like, for me, I had a baseball card collection that my mom threw away.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
just because she's like one of those people. Yeah, like she was one of those people that like just didn't like a mess. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she would go through phases where she would just get rid of stuff, which, I mean, heartbreaking. She got rid of my brother's comic book collection.
Oh, and, my God.
Like, this is back in the day. This is around the time, like, you know, 80s, mid 80s or something. So he used to have like really cool issues. Like, there was an issue that I loved, the Spider-Man versus Wolverine, mm-hmm. number one. And I loved reading it, like, but he would get so mad at me, obviously, because he had him like protected in the sleeves and everything like that. Yeah. And I remember those were his babies, you know, and he like never recovered from that. Like, we still talk about it. We still talk about it like someone died in our family, you know, because it hurts, yeah. you know. Yeah. And it's that thing where I go to therapy. I don't want to brag. But I was telling my therapist that, you know, I'm not married. I don't have children. But like I said earlier, if you look at my apartment, I have a lot of toys. I have a lot of things that bring me joy, you know, and it's because I realized when I was younger, I didn't have the chance. I didn't have the money. You know, we didn't have the money to really get what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So it's almost as if I'm reliving my childhood as an adult. You know, and I was actually talking to Jerry Rocha about this.
Yeah.
We were talking about how, for some reason, it used to be that you would actually be made to feel like you were too old for things.
Yeah.
Or you were expected to grow out of it.
There was always a nerd that lived in this basement of his mom's home, yeah. kind of thing, who had the collection. Those were the only people that would have it. Now it's yeah. more the norm.
Exactly. And, you know, and it's funny to me, you know, because I was telling Jerry, it's funny how I never thought that we would get to this point in time where I could be a full-fledged adult and I can still buy the things that I want, that I love and everything. And a lot of it comes from like my childhood and just teenage, you know, everything. I love that I can buy it and I love that it makes me so happy, you know? And it's that thing where I realized again, it goes back to this thinking where we put these preconceived notions on us about what we can do, what we can't do. And man, if I want like a Death Star disco ball, I'm buying it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's what it is. It really, a lot of it boils down to vindication. You know, it's like you are getting the thing that you want, the thing that you deserve, the thing that you had. I had as a kid, like I'm currently wearing this Power Rangers, Green Ranger shirt.
Yeah, that's a cool shirt.
Yeah, so it's so growing up, I loved Power Rangers, but I was a kid's kid. You know what I mean? Like very young, very innocent. I going back to even the drug deal thing. I wasn't any kind of mature, even though I understood the world because we had to raise ourselves like in a single parent household. Yeah. I still held on to a lot of my innocence for a very long time, and I would be so happy talking about Power Rangers at school, going on and on about it. I'll get made fun of relentlessly by people who would just talk shit about like, oh, that's for kids, that's lame, this and that. And then now those same people years later bragging, and it's like I kind of want to be like, okay, poser, because they talk about like, oh man, I love Power Rangers, I loved it so much growing up. And I'm just like, you mother, you liar, you hid that from the world, you don't deserve it. And it was always, it's so funny to me to in a way to see that. And but it feels good, because if you can afford to get something, if it's just for you, for yourself, it symbolizes that one thing that you couldn't have before. Go for it. You know, I've never seen somebody have something weird like my best friend's wife has a collection of dolls that are these like still in the original packaging, and it's kind of like these kind of like those the American Girl kind of style versions of like Disney princesses and stuff like that. Uh-huh. I'm like, good for you, that's your thing. Like, everybody yeah. needs a quirk, everybody needs a little something that's for them. You know, if you have a collection of porcelain cats, creepy, but go for it, you know. Everyone deserves that thing. Everyone has, I mean, and I think now more than ever, those are the things we're going to rely on. I mean, I was on Amazon last night. I had to fight not buying certain stuff because I was, you know, I mean, I was buying work related stuff that I needed, but then it kept suggesting because I bought stuff like this on there. Yeah. It keeps suggesting stuff that I would want. That it's like, hey, you seem like you're man child enough to want this thing, and I'm just like, I really truly am, and I have to fight it, but I really truly am. But no, that's
and it's
good.
Hard to fight it.
Yeah. It's I'm like, and Amazon Prime gets to me in 3 days. That is perfect. Please and thank you.
Hey man, I struggle with the same thing. I'm Amazon Prime and it's like, wait, so I can have it like tomorrow maybe? Yeah.
The immediacy. That's one of the problems. I mean, it's a great thing, but at the same time it's removes like it's like living in at a mall. You know, like if you have to travel to the mall and do all this stuff, that's an effort. That's a day's trip to get these things done. But if you live there, you're gonna spend the money. You're gonna go up and down the things. It's inevitable. I mean, we recently moved to Studio City, so we're like removed from. I mean, everything is really much further walking now, closer to Ventura, but further from the malls. So at least I hope we're further from the malls. I have no idea. I really worry about we're further from the Northridge Mall. That's what matters to me because like that's the part of town where my family likes to go shopping. And so long as we're not over there, we should be good. But I think what the problem is that with Amazon or any of this stuff. I mean, I don't know about you. You said you went to go get your groceries. We have them delivered. You know, like it's right. Everything is so simple, so easy to do now. Everything just gets delivered here. And I mean, if I could find a way to have like, I don't know. Actually, that's not true. I would say like a home theater system delivered to me, which is totally possible. I'd probably go broke. I'd probably get evicted because I don't have the money to pay rent. But I'd be like, you know what? At least I have this sweet home entertainment system. Surround sound speakers, Dolby. I wanted to do the Dolby, like the THX, like thing when I turn on the TV to watch Teen Titans Go. Which, by the way, were you referring to Teen Titans or Teen Titans Go?
Early? Teen Titans Go.
Okay, yeah. Oh my God, did you see the movie?
Yeah, I think I saw it the day it came out.
Same in theaters. Died at the very end. The last line from Robin when he yells at the kids, like, "Wait, kids, ask your parents where babies come from," and then the credits start. Being the only adult in that theater with no kids. Actually, that's not true. There were several adults with no kids in the theater, but there was a lot of kids in the theater. All the adults went, oh, and then the kids, I could see kids looking around being like, what? Like, what are you about to explain to me? You know, kind of thing. I was like, oh.
That show is so funny. It's like, sometimes I'll watch these episodes and I'll even tweet it. I'm like, we do not deserve this show. Like,
no, it's so good. It's, I mean, I try to convince people to watch. I'm like, just watch it. The Teen Titans versus Teen Titans Go was perfect crossover. I was so happy about it. I was like, this is great.
I think I saw that one last week.
Yeah.
I think, well, they show the same, you know, like, they show a lot of the same stuff. I think sometimes I'll see the same episode, like, from one day to next.
Yeah. You know? when I was a kid, I always thought like if I could, cause I was a slender kid, I was a tiny kid, skinny. I always wanted to be Beast Boy. Like I wanted to be like a young Beast Boy cause I had a big head and I was really thin. And I was like, I could totally play different animals cause I already kind of have this sort of gorilla-ish face. You know, I could probably do that pretty well. And so, there's this comedy show that's like a Comic-Con influence comedy show where they have all the comics, a lot of the like open micro comics, but they dress up they go all out and they dress up in cosplay playing the characters. And they asked me if I would do it. And I was like, sure, I'll be Beast Boy. But I was, you know, it's me now with long hair and a big dude. And and it didn't quite work. My buddy spent like a long time painting my face green, but it just like I looked like the Hulk had given up on life. Like I didn't look like Beast Boy at all. And it didn't work. I mean, it was just a really rough, like Hulk eat ramen. Like it just like there was no
Hulk eat ramen.
It just didn't work. And I get there and they're like, "Who are you?" I'm like, "I'm Beast Boy." They're like, "Okay." But then they're all doing, and they didn't tell me that I had to write all my material as if I was Beast Boy. So everyone's doing their stand-up, and I'm like, can I go last? Because I need some time to write some jokes. You know, I ended up doing okay, but that was such a, like, they threw it online, and a part of me is like, I hope that footage disappears at some point. I just wanted to disappear. Like, I hid my photos, those photos on Instagram, because I was like, you know what? Looking back at these now, I'm like, that was a really, my friend did a good job coloring my face, but everything else just did not seem right. You know,
how long ago was that?
This was maybe like a year or so ago, but it was just so, it was so bad. And like, I have, like, I'm already like a naturally sweaty, oily faced guy. Like, I mean, the fact that I don't have acne right now is surprising. But it just like it felt, I looked like somebody, my face looked like somebody was choking me out or whatever. Like, all the blood was in my face and I was being choked out. It didn't look natural or healthy. And that's when I was like, you know what? Something tells me I am past my prime when it comes to playing Beast Boy. I think it's okay to say that me at 36 can no longer be Beast Boy. Yeah. So I finally made my peace with it.
That's hilarious. That is so funny.
No. If you ever got asked to be in a hypothetical situation, if you ever got asked to be a cosplay character for a comedy show, who would you be?
You know, God, like, I immediately thought I would be Raven, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I know this sounds super ridiculous. I would actually be one of the misfits from Jim and the Holograms.
Oh, that's actually pretty good.
Because I like that. I like that you would have to know it. Mm-hmm. You would have to know the world to kind of know it. But I also like that it's not a cosplay female character that's very like pleasant, very bubbly, bubblegum kind of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can have some fun with it.
See, I like that answer. And that makes me think I should have asked myself this when the guy asked me who I wanted to be. Because if I didn't go with that, I would have gone with, do you remember the show Bonkers? The cartoon, yeah. Bonkers? I would have been his friend, the stunt double bunny, Fall Apart. Because Fall Apart was my favorite character. Because he would just literally fall apart. And that always cracked me up, how he was a stunt man for a cartoon.
And it's hilarious.
And my last truck that I had before it got stolen, I would call it Fall Apart, because it would constantly have troubles. New differential, the window on the left side wouldn't roll up. It was missing a stereo. Like the door, when you would try to close it, the inside part would close before it would pull the rest with it. You know, like it very. And then one of the lights, for some reason, would just sit and it would kind of just drop my headlights. And that always, like, and I would always fix everything and do certain things to fix it. But then I would just, like, my nickname for my truck was Fall Apart. And I was like, I love that. Like, it's quirky, but it's my own sort of thing. And it's so totally funny. Yeah. So I would be Fall Apart. I don't think people would know, but I would still very much like that. I think now with Disney Plus, they're probably going to bring it back at some point. Because,
you know, it is one of those things, though, where, like, That's the thing about cosplay. That's the thing about loving like nerdy things or whatever, that, you know, it's the fact that as long as you want to be it, mm-hmm. it doesn't even matter if anybody gets it, because I also think that it makes it super special when someone does get it.
Yeah.
You know, because really, I mean, that's the whole thing. I went to Comic-Con a couple years ago in San Diego for the first time to that one. I've always shunned that one because I don't like crowds.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that thing where, you know, and then I realized that it was so about movies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That it was just kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I remember going and I realized that the characters that stood out to me that were the ones that weren't popular.
Yeah.
You know, and it was that thing where I wasn't looking for it, mm-hmm. but I thought it was so cool when I would see someone that just kind of thought differently, you know?
Like, you can only have too many Harley Quinns.
There were so many.
Yes.
so many. Yeah. Like, you know, you know, there was a group of friends that got together and they were Scooby-Doo in the gang.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but like from the 70s cartoon. So it looked like completely, they looked vintage.
Oh, I love
and
that.
Just the level of detail that they did was so amazing.
Was one of them Scoob or did they have a stuffed animal?
They had a stuffed animal,
oh, okay.
You know, but it was like that, but they had a, like an oversized one, you okay. know, and it was this thing where they looked so good that it was that thing where you're like, I have to take a picture of it. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, once I subconsciously don't even realize I have my phone out. Like that's when I realize it's so good, you yeah. know? And it's that thing where that's actually sometimes what I do for, when I go to Disneyland, sometimes I will actually, it doesn't happen very often. I've only done it a couple times, but I do the Disney bound thing with Cruz Ramirez.
Uh-huh.
So that morning I will post on Instagram that I'm going to Disneyland. So if anybody finds me, I'll take a picture with them as Cruz Ramirez, you know, cause that's my character, you know? So it's, you know, so I like playing that kind of stuff. You know, I like the funness because not everybody would get that character, but when they do, they kind of get a kick out of like bumping into me when they do.
Now, when you say Disney bound, do you mean that, like that sort of regular clothing that's cosplay color scheme off
yes,
of the okay
yes,
yeah, yeah yeah
absolutely
I yeah. always wanted to do that as Mickey Mouse. I wanted to show up as Mickey Mouse, like wear like red shorts or red pants kind of thing, and then red yeah. red yellow Converse and then wear gloves and all that. Like I always want to do that. Like it always seems very yeah. like a dapper kind of thing. And then when I found out what that was, I was like, ooh, that sounds like a good time. I mean, at some point you got to do all that, but that sounds pretty awesome that you would do that. So you wore like a lot of yellow and stuff. And
I actually have a t-shirt that someone gave me as a gift that says Dynaco in the front.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And then in the back, it says my number. It says like the 25 or whatever, you know, at the end of the movie. And then it says Crustella.
Mm-hmm. Crustella. That's good. I like that.
When the movie came out, every time I posted something about it, I would tag it with Crustella.
Yeah.
And, I have these like really like awesome Mickey Mouse ears that someone gave to me as a gift, and they're like custom Cruz Ramirez ears that are so
oh, that's
awesome.
So dope.
So I put those on, and then I have like a, you know, black and white checkered scarf that I put on my neck.
Oh my God, you really do go all out for it. That's
dude,
that's awesome.
I put dark jeans on, and then I have this pair of like yellow glitter sneakers.
Yeah. That sounds so dope. And you should here's what you do next time you do that and then take Steve and have him be what's that, oh why is the character's name escaping my head right now, the tow truck
Mater.
First of all, I don't even know how I forgot that. That's one of my favorite rides there at California Adventure. Like, it's such a fun one where he does the spinning dance thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, Cars Land is my favorite. Like, it's Radiator Springs. So I have a nephew who's he's autistic, and he has a real tough time with things. So I myself am on the spectrum, but I'm a low grade. I have Asperger's, but he's on the. He has autism, and he and I speak a very similar language, so I have to explain to him every single ride before he gets on it, you know, kind of thing. And then Radiator Springs was the hardest one to get him to be a part of. Like, he was
sure.
terrified the whole time, but then once he got on the ride, it was like a party to him. He had a great time with it. I mean, he won't admit to it. But I could see him, like, the only time he kind of like panicked was when I started doing the dip again.
Right.
But he did really, really well on the ride. And that was so happy to me. So for me, I have that memory with him to do that. And then, you know, I did have to brag and be like, you know what? I'm like, I know her. He's like, you don't know her. Like when they brought out Cruz or whatever. And I was like, I know her. He's like, I'm serious. And he's a very smart person. He uses the internet, and he has so many factoids. Like, I was like, did you know that? He's like, actually, that's correct. It was actually this artist. He does that kind of thing.
I love it. Oh yeah. My God, I love that.
Yeah. So he corrects me on stuff, and then I tell him, and then he like hits me up one day and just gives me like a random factoid about you. I'm like, good for him. He researched. He didn't trust me to say that I knew. He didn't just take me at my word. He had to double check to see. I think he probably went back and listened to the last podcast you were on for me. And he was just like, all right, this little kid, he does not take anybody at their word. He has to do the research. I mean, I still can't get him to watch Sonic the Hedgehog, and that's his favorite character. Because he won't believe.
Why not?
Because he won't believe me that Jim Carrey did a good job as Dr. Robotnik.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, he's like, no. He goes, he's just not right for the part. Like, he does that. He does a lot of those. Like, the performance. I'm like, you're 13. What are you thinking about? Like, the performance. He's like, he goes, the performance leaves me wanting. I'm like, oh, what is? You, go fucking play in dirt or something. Like, what do you, I love that kid, but it's.
I love him. He sounds great.
He is funny. He was telling like a gift. My sister told us a story about how he was trying to get like I don't remember if it was a present or if it was a card to give somebody for their birthday, and it had something about a light bulb or whatever. And then my sister's like, they're not gonna like that. He goes, who doesn't like light bulbs? Like, that was his takeaway from the situation. And that is just such a, like, him thing to say. He is hilarious in the way that he thinks. I'm like, oh, that is so special to me. That's so great. All right, so two things need to happen. One day, I got to roll with you guys to Disneyland. Because I go with people from time to time who have passes. But it's usually people who, like, you know, they have to have a set schedule, or they don't want to run around and do all the things or whatever. Like, I need to find a group of people to just go with that. It's like, all right, we're going to go. We're going to do whatever random things. Like, we have our sights set on doing these things. Do you take advantage of the app?
Oh, I'm obsessed with the app. Like, I actually use the app so much that I have to take an external battery just to, like, keep it charged. Because when I got my pass, I added the fast pass.
Yeah, we did that too.
Yeah, so, you know, so for me, you know, I've done Disneyland, you know, with the guides because of the cruise room, because of the Cars connection.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's a really cool thing to do, but you feel like you're missing a lot of the experience because everything is so scheduled. That what I like about having the pass is that sometimes, depending on who's with me, I like doing the single rider.
Yeah, that's you know,
a lot of fun. And a lot of people don't even know about it, which, you know, whatever.
Which is great, but at the same time, I feel like I want to edit that out only because I don't want people to take advantage of our stuff.
You totally should. Actually, once I said it, I'm like, I don't want people knowing.
You guys don't listen to that. I mean, in case I forget to edit it, just pretend you didn't hear that, please and thank you.
But it's this thing where sometimes there's certain rides that that I like to get on. Steve and I, we both love Soaring.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's such a good one.
Adventure. And it's funny because the first time I got on it, I didn't know what it really was. I knew what it was, but I didn't know how it would be so sensory, you know, like with the
very immersive and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so when after the first time, I'm like, this is my favorite ride. So depending on how it is, the moment I can get access to the app and look at the wait times, I will like start planning. I'm like, you want to do this one, blah blah blah, and then depending on that, we'll do the other smaller rides or whatever.
Yeah.
But I usually, you know, we do a lot of rides, but also when we don't want to, I also like having like a meal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'll sit like
a long lunch, like a very, yeah exactly. Like taking your time with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's that thing where sometimes I'll go to that Italian restaurant that's right near Cars Land in the California Adventure.
Yes.
And I'll sit there, like, you know, Steve and I, like I'll take Steve there and we will just sit there and have a meal, you know, and just kind of like hang out. And I love that you can hang out. You know what I mean? It's kind of like you're still there. You're seeing everything, but it's at your pace.
Yeah. Well, when we did the getting the Millennium Falcon, all we did after that was go to Pizza Planet, and that was it.
Oh yeah, Pizza Planet. Yeah, you know, like, yeah.
It was just like, you know, so I like the idea of just going to even just downtown Disney and hanging out. You don't need I mean, that's one of the benefits of being not necessarily a local. It's a bit of a commute, but. The benefits of doing it going so often that at some point you hit the point where you're just like, I'd be happy with just one or two rides today and going around and hitting the shops or finding random stuff.
Totally. I mean, they also have this, they have that badass Lego store in downtown. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. It's so,
I love going there, you know, like, yeah, I mean, I love, so it's a couple, you know, for me, sometimes I like, you know, sometimes like I'll go and I'm like, oh, today's like a Star Wars day. So I'll do Star Tours and I'll do like the Millennium, or, you know, I'll go look at the you know, like the statues, the you know, like, you know, whatever they got.
Where you go in, where you take the photos with Vader and all that? Have you, do you go and
do that? Yeah. We actually, on my birthday, it was Steve, Jerry, and I, we were at Disneyland, and we had like a moment with Darth Vader and like the stormtroopers and stuff like that. It was kind of like, it was like a murder mystery theater kind of dinner. So it was kind of like, oh, you know, yeah, it's, but you know, there's also times where like, I like riding the Matterhorn. Mm-hmm. Steve hates it.
That's the one with the Abominable Snowman.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that ride.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't, you know, and sometimes I'll get on it because it's quick. Yeah. Sometimes it's quick, you know? But then there's other times where I go with the theme and I'm like, oh, I want to do the older rides.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know,
like it's a big Thunder Mountain and all that.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it's just fun to do, you know, it's like, you know, and then sometimes when I want a break, I'm like, hey, you want to do It's a Small World? You know
what I mean? It's a Small World is only a necessity now because it's where you go to rest your legs. It's where you go to like, just kind of shut down for a little bit. It's, although when the ride stops or stalls when you're in it, oh yes. My God, that is torture. That is pain. What is it? I always have to do Star Tours. Star Tours is the only one where it's a must that I have to do.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, and then when they introduced the new like storylines based off of the newer films, mm-hmm. I got so excited when they did the one for the Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. That one I was just, you know, like very, you get emotionally invested in the characters.
Totally.
And then one time we were on there, and then it was the old Princess Leia one. And then the person that they were talking about, like the photo, like we were looking for the spy, it was Linda.
Oh, how cool!
Yeah, and then and she had like a, I forget what hers was. It was like a like kind of a like they're always a goofy face. Like they always pick the like a weird photo of you. And then for hers, it was that one. And then she was talking about the spy or whatever. And then I leaned over and I was like, hey, I'm like, it's like she's talking about you directly. And she got so emotional because of that or whatever. I'm like, I love that.
Yes.
Like the interaction. It's like, even if it's things are programmed or whatever it is, it's still really like, it's so heartwarming. Like you get emotionally invested in the characters or in the moment. That's, I mean, by the way, we've done about 20 something minutes on Disneyland alone, which is so funny to me because this is inevitably where a lot of my conversations go, is Disneyland or Star Wars or Batman. Like, it's just like, I mean, don't get me wrong. We can have real heart to hearts, but those are always things that get included in there at some point.
And sure, of course.
Yeah. And that just cracks me up that's what happened. but yeah, that's all right. It is. It's a lot of fun. It's honestly these are the things we need to talk about and remember, because you can't make it all about like, yeah, COVID-19 is going on right now, but there's still a whole lot of life before, and there will be a whole lot more life after, you know, like we just have to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's take care of ourselves. What is there one thing right now that you miss that you like the, like, is there one thing that stands out right now that you miss right now, like from the before life, and you'd be able to go out?
Honestly, the one thing I like, I used to go walk the boardwalk at the beach once a week. And I did it because I just liked, I love looking at water, you know, like I love staring and looking at the ocean, and I was missing it. But honestly, it's that thing where for me, I don't know, I guess for me overall, I think of it as a treat.
Yeah.
You know, so everything that I want to do, I can do.
Can I make a recommendation?
Yeah.
Put a treadmill in the bathroom. Fill the bowl, the tub with water, and then get one of those curtains that has like a print on it for the beach or whatever, and then just walk along that, like, slowly. You know, just be like, oh, hey, this is nice. Do that. That'll fill that void.
Yo, you got to open up a business like Budget Vacations.
budgetvacay.com. It's hit me up. I will find shortcuts for all of your non-adventure adventures.
A lot of shower curtains.
Yeah, like I deliver like bags of sand to you. I'm just like, just put this all over the floor. Don't even question it. Yeah, it's a real DIY kind of business, but it'll work.
But honestly, I don't think there's nothing that I can think of that I miss, because, you know, it's actually going with what you were saying right now, is that this is such a weird time that we live in, but it gets so talked about,
mm-hmm.
that I have to make an effort to also, that's why I do the Instagram lives sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I like just going on and not talking about it and just reminding people that we can have fun, because that's the thing, is that so many people right now, they're longing for the time that they can go out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they also forget going out will be different now.
Yeah.
You know,
But
it's that thing where it's like, it's that thing where we have to realize, I actually consider it really cool that I'm in this time right now, and I can actually focus on myself, which is something I've never been able to do. So it's kind of, I feel like, I know it's a luxury. So it actually feels really cool right now. I've been playing my Switch.
Ooh.
I've been playing, like, you know,
I want to,
like,
get a Switch. Was it worth it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Totally. Especially because it's just like you have a console with you, mm-hmm. that you can travel with without having to actually have the whole console. You know, it's pretty cool. And then I have the travel, like the external battery for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty, I mean, definitely.
You've convinced me. yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and start ordering all the stuff now. And then I'm just gonna be like, you know what? Nobody talked to me for the next few weeks. I'm gonna play all these weird Mario Brother games where you create your own worlds.
Yes.
That's
the Mario Makers. Yeah.
That gives me heartburn seeing the challenges. I'm just like, how,
dude, some of these challenges, I'm like, do you like yourself? Like, mm-hmm. like what are you doing?
Like, you're setting yourself up for failure. Like, it's you're punishing yourself.
Yeah, it's like, you know, hey, I get it. We're supposed to challenge ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I get it. We play the games, you know, that the eighth world is going to be hard. You know, and even up to the eighth world, there's a couple levels that always make you feel like you almost want to cry because you keep dying. You have to find out that one move, right? But some of these scenes, I see them and I'm like, yo, why? Like, you can make it challenging, but don't make it a death mission. Like, it's too much.
Could you imagine sending that level back to the 80s to a kid back then who didn't know what a Switch was? Who was on this little, on the original Nintendo, suddenly seeing a very complex screen, just watching them be like, what is happening? And crying to their parent or whomever, being like, why did they do this to me? I'm never going to finish the game. It's just,
absolutely.
It's right up there with me with the Rubik's Cube. I'm never going to solve a Rubik's Cube. I will never. And I've made peace with that. I've made peace with the fact that a Rubik's Cube will always be the victor when it comes to the battle between it and I.
Dude, it is, and it's so weird too, because I have the original Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to like Frank and Son and like bought all the games I used to play.
Yeah.
Like all of them, I rebought them. And it's funny to go revisit, and it makes me sound like a curmudgeon grandparent where I'm like, you kids now don't understand. And this is Nintendo. This is post Atari 7800 when I had it. You know what I mean? Like, this is post long, all that stuff. But it's that thing where I remember one time I was watching this. I thought I was watching a movie for a couple minutes, or like for a bit, and it turned out to be a video game commercial.
Okay.
I really thought it was something like Saving Private Ryan because it looks real and everything, and it turned out that it was like a new game dropping. And you know, when I bought the when I got my OG Nintendo, I put on Metal Gear. Ooh. And I used to play Metal Gear when I was a kid, and it's funny because I remember being a kid and thinking that Metal Gear was amazing, like just so advanced and everything. The mission, like you'd see like the text coming up and stuff and everything. And now, when you compare it to Metal Gear now, you know, you used to have to, I mean, the whole pixels, like we were
16-bit back then, and just
yeah,
like,
we were pixels.
Like, yeah, you know? Our imagination would recreate what they design now. Like with those tiny things, yeah.
So now I saw a Mario Maker 2 level that someone did, and it gave me anxiety watching it. Like, it was, you know, it had the fire, like, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. He has to run back and then run forward because it has to be a very specific one that he takes for each one. Yes.
And I'm just like, dude, yeah. Come on now.
That's the, I don't know. I feel like that's so there's the game that I feel like I'm going to be super disappointed by, but still remember, is the Popeye game on Nintendo.
Oh, Popeye. I didn't have Popeye. I had a couple friends that had Popeye.
I had a cousin who had Popeye. And I think the only reason why that's the game I want is because of the fact that it was my cousin's game and I never got to keep it, you know, like I always wanted it.
Yeah.
So that part always got to me. And I'm always like, someday that I'm going to have that Popeye video game. Then we'll see. I mean, if it happens, it happens. If not, I've made my peace with it, but I'm fully prepared to be disappointed by the gameplay. Like being like, oh, this wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
Dude, how many games has that happened with, man? Like, there is a game for Atari that I hated and loved when I was a kid called Solaris. I never finished it as a kid because I would get so angry. You know, it was that thing. You know, certain games, it really feels like they're just out to frustrate the hell out of you.
Donkey Kong is one.
You know, it's like one of those things where I'm like, look, we are having a good time.
Yeah.
Like, we are enjoying ourselves. Why are you guys such dicks? And Solaris used to, it was kind of like a space game. So you were out in space, you would shoot like, you know, like little aliens or ships or something. And then every now and then when you would do well, you would hear this do-do-do-do-do. And then right when you heard it, it meant that you had to go to another galaxy to fight. And those always got me. Like, they would make me so tense because you had to do it at that moment. And I bought it. I rebought it for years ago. And I tried playing it. And immediately I was just like, this is why I didn't finish it, because I hated it. And it just turns out that back then, though, the games were so expensive that
you had to commit.
Yeah, you had no choice. And we didn't have the selection we have now.
Yeah.
You know?
It's always so funny when you find out years later that there's something you were just like, I never quite figured it out, because you are so unaware of the fact that you hate it. Like, because hate's not necessarily a word that you had at that moment in time. So you're just like, this is what I got to do. There's a lot of times where I remember one day when I discovered I didn't like pineapple pizza. I hate pineapple pizza. But I would eat pineapple pizza and be like, I'm not having as much fun with this. Why is that? And then I was like, oh, I just hate it. You know, once I discovered hatred, I was like, oh, I can stop eating very specific foods. I'm so happy about this.
My sister growing up, my sister hates tomatoes.
Mm.
Hates them. Just... I don't know what it is. Can't stand them. She's hated them all her life. And I always thought I hated them because my sister hated them.
Mm.
I would never eat them. And it wasn't until I want to say like I was 18 or something when I moved out.
Yeah.
I tried tomatoes and I was like, I love tomatoes. And it's the opposite where I'm like, I thought I hated it. And it turns out I was going by like my sister. Like I didn't even give myself the chance to have an opinion about it.
I'm like that with rock music because my family listens to so much hip hop growing up and rap. Mm-hmm. It'd be a lot of like the Doggy Style album from Snoop Dogg kind of stuff, you know, DJ Quick, Eazy-E kind of stuff. And I'd be like, well, I mean, I like this stuff, but it doesn't really speak to me. But this is the only option that's there. And then one day I heard like a Foo Fighters track or whatever. I was like, oh, my God, I like rock music. But I did the slow transition. I went from rap to Linkin Park. That was like a cross between the two. And then I went like over it out to all the way to rock. But it cracks me up that like so much of your persona is dictated by what's around you. And then one day you discover your true likes and all that. Uh-huh. And that's when you end up with a Death Star disco ball. Like that is, you know, you got to that point. Congratulations. You did it, Christella. I'm so proud of you. This is you are finally you. And that's what matters. I think that's it does. I won't take up too much more of your time here, so we'll go ahead and wrap this up. So do you have any upcoming shows you want to promote? what do you promote? Like, okay, later today I'm going to be watching more TV. Like I'm going to catch up on Maury.
So I have actually I started a podcast in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I do it by myself.
Yeah.
It's just me talking. And I always stop it because podcasting to me is such a different world. And it's this thing where when it really got hot, it's kind of like TikTok for me,
mm-hmm.
where everybody's doing it and then you want to try to do it. But then like I would get overwhelmed by the bigness of the universe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, and it's this thing where now I'm trying. I started it in 2016 and I stop and I'll go months without doing it. And only recently, 3 weeks ago, I started doing it every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, it's interesting because, you know, I'm still figuring it out. You've given me tips on my Instagram lives and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's this thing where it's a weird thing because I'm still at that point where I need to figure out how to promote it,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's, and I'm not worried about it, but it's about like taking the time and figuring it out and blah, blah, blah. But I got to tell you, it's interesting to me that when I actually promote it, you know, I have this running joke that I have 4 listeners and then I put my podcast, you know, on this website that gives me the analytics. And it turns out I have more than 4 listeners and I literally like, it shocked me. Yeah. Like for the good part of a day, I couldn't believe that more than 4 people were listening,
yeah.
you know? So I've made it a point. I don't have shows coming up, but you know, it's like, I've made it a point to like, try to focus on promoting the podcast.
It's honestly, it's the right now, really what you're doing right now is the way you promote it. You hop on other people's podcasts. You throw snippets out there online and you just put on different platforms and with enough following, it'll build up its own speed, its own steam, and it'll get to that point. So you are doing the right thing. And I always equate podcasting to, I always do very, very specific examples, but I think this one will probably be the one that I'm sticking with right now is everyone has a blank canvas for a podcast. Everyone, it's like everybody's been given a canvas and they're like, do with this what you will. Some people try to follow the formula and they repeat what they've seen other people do. Some people go a completely different direction. But I always encourage people, because I believe while not everybody's a great storyteller, everyone has a story. Everyone has something to say, whether it's a thought, an opinion, an experience, an awkward encounter with a drug dealer kind of thing. Like everybody has a thing about it. And then someone else is always going to find interest in that. I mean, who would the guy who woke up and said, I'm going to do this artwork and these paintings in Seattle and sell them on the street. Did he think that one day somebody would walk by, love them so much that they paid to have them shipped and it's in the background, and then one day gets seen by two podcasters having a conversation where it's now being talked about and promoted for other people? You know, that's it's a very interesting way that everything happens. I have these listeners who I always encourage, say, if you ever have any questions about podcasting, hit me up. And then I know this one couple who started their own podcasting that is both true crime and beer, you know, and they review beer, you know, and it's just, you know, it's just a couple at home doing their own thing. They're not like, they don't have a huge massive following or anything like that, but it's the thing that they do because it's something they can do. What else are they going to do during this quarantine? They're creating content. They're having fun. If you really want to listen, you'll listen. If it's not for you, then you just don't listen. You know, and you're providing people not just a look into the world of Cresella, but you're also giving people, you know, you're voicing yourself. You're having a laugh. You have a unique and interesting life. You know, and at the same time, there's a lot of things that are so common with so many people that can connect to it. I mean, I know people personally who are big fans of yours. You know, I just recently reconnected with someone who we had a falling out like a couple years back, you know, kind of thing, who I know is still a fan of yours. And so there are a lot of these kinds of, you know, things. So you have your followers. You have your platform where to put it. The two would just eventually connect. So, you know, you're going to have at least 5 followers by the end of this. I'm pretty sure of it. You're going to have 5.
It's so funny. I feel like the recap of this podcast has been, we talked about so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we realized that we both like a lot of the same things to an extreme level.
Yes. It's always so funny. And you also have to think about it. Like, I grew up here. You grew up elsewhere. Imagine somebody in another part of the world that's probably... there's another Jose and Cristela, like, in, like, Tokyo and in fucking London. You know, like, it's just, like, random.
Right.
By the way, those are the only two countries I could think of as, like, locations in the Street Fighter world or whatever. I'm like, you know what? There's another Jose in the USSR, you know? That motherfucker has some hairy legs. Like, it's, I don't know. Now I'm on a fucking, see, Street Fighter. That's another video game I need to get back. I played that for so long on the, my introduction to Street Fighter wasn't even on the gaming consoles. It was on, I thought it was just a PC game, like on a computer.
Right.
So I would play hitting like the space bar, and then W is A, S and Z would be up and down and yada yada. Like, it was very basic. And then when I discovered it's an actual game on a console, I was like, oh, this is way easier.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, I think PC-wise, the only game I ever got into hardcore was Diablo.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Yeah, Diablo's good.
Diablo and the Alice in Wonderland. Did you ever see the Twisted Alice?
Ooh, no.
So if you ever look up, I don't remember exactly what it's called, but I think if you find it under Twisted Alice, hold on, let's see if I can find it. But it was supposed to be... Alice is in an insane, she's in an insane asylum, and it's not Twisted Alice, that's something else, but it's Alice in Wonderland Twisted, there you go, I think that might be it, but it's essentially the Mad Hatter, the Evil Queen took over and started killing everybody, and the worse her psyche is, the worse that it is there. And then the Cheshire Cat's all skinny and like all the bones are sticking out, and he has this evil maniacal smile and like tattoos and piercings and stuff. Like, it's a very sort of goth kind of version of it.
Oh, I have to look it up. That sounds so cool.
It's dark, and she walks around like with a knife, and she has to like kill the card soldiers and stuff like that. The deck of card soldiers.
I love that.
It's awesome, but it's also like super disturbing. So check that out. Thank you so much for doing this.
Of course, anytime.
Yeah, I. What's the name of your podcast so you can plug it on here?
Oh, my podcast is called To Be Continued with Cristela Alonzo.
All right, cool. I'll plug it on my thing. Do you have a website or anything you have it on or anything?
Yeah, it's actually the To Be Continued podcast.com.
Okay, tobecontinuedpodcast.com. I'll plug that on my website, awkwardlysocialcomedy.com.
Love it.
I will, I'll post all the stuff on there. I'll plug it. I actually have about like 4 episodes I'm releasing this week. Yours will be one of them. I have one with Steve that I haven't put up yet. One with Carlos I did yesterday. One with a couple of relatives. I don't know what it is, but I recently started like just doing check-ins with people. And the relative ones are funny because being removed from podcasting, they have no idea what they're saying. So they're just saying the most like they're being super vulgar and I'm enjoying the shit out of it. I'm like, I now remember why I love you guys so much. But thank you so much, Chrisella. You take care. I think I might not have recorded the first 2 minutes of the episode, but the rest of it was golden.
Hey, man, thank you so much. And I can't wait till eventually Disneyland comes up back and we can go hit it.
Yeah, it's going to do. And here's what we'll do. We'll both actually, I was going to say we could take our lightsabers and go with them. But at the same time, that scared the shit out of me of busting them out there.
I know.
It's I'll do the Disney bounding as like Vader. Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. I actually have a like one of those chef's robe thingies that you wear when you like this. Instead of saying kiss the cook, it's Darth Vader's armor.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So I might just wear that to Disneyland. We'll see.
Disney bound.
Disney bounding, yeah. All right. Take care, Chrisella.
Yeah, all right. Bye.
Bye now. And that was that, you guys. Thank you so much. There might have been a pause at the beginning that you may have missed. I didn't quite set one of the settings right, so you didn't hear the audio from her, and unfortunately I did not record. Take care, and I'll have more episodes up soon. If you have any questions or anything, you can always reach out to me, josechavezcomedian@gmail.com. Do not be shy to reach out if you just want to get advice on podcasting, have a conversation so you stay sane, anything like that. Take care of one another. If you know somebody that needs help and you can help them, give them a hand. If you want to start your own podcast, start it. You know, there's a lot of things that are out there. I was Googling last night, or I was on Amazon last night, and I saw this thing, a microphone that you can use to plug into your phone. And it's, you know, and then you can get really decent quality on a phone recording podcast. So be on the lookout for more content from me and from Chrisella and from all my upcoming guests. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.